welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of Right Down the Street. My name is Brian Barnett, the mayor of the city of Rochester Hills, and of course, your host for this podcast. Our podcast celebrates people that live and work and make an impact in our area in Southeast Michigan. And we have an incredibly fantastic national leader with us today. We're excited to introduce you to in just a minute. We want to thank our loyal listeners. As you know, Right Down the Street was ranked in the top 25% of all podcasts in the country, according to Buzzsprout, with listeners nearly every continent on the planet. So we're excited to continue to grow our audience. We thank you for those that are listening. And for those that are, we encourage you to check out our YouTube version now. You can not only listen, but you can watch. And man, we got a good looking guest, if I say so myself, that you'll meet in just a minute. and excited to introduce you to her. But if you get a chance to listen, give us a like, a follow, a share, a review. We appreciate all of it. Now, on to our guest today. She is a great friend joining us from the city of New Orleans in our special Lead with Impact segment. I want to introduce you to my friend and the mayor of the city of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell. Mayor Cantrell, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, my brother mayor. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being here. You are quite a woman. I've known this because we've spent some time together, been friends for a number of years, but it doesn't take much time to know LaToya, to love LaToya. You are an incredible person and you represent your city so well. Mayor Cantrell, you are the first female mayor of your city and your city turns 300 this year. Is that correct?
Well, my city is now 305.
305, all right.
Yeah, 305. In 2018, we made that 300. And yes, during that same period, I was elected to be the first woman to lead the city in, again, that 300-year history. You know, breaking the glass ceiling is one thing. You know, celebrations on the front end. But once you get in the seat now, honeymoon's over and expectations are even higher. But it's been really a great tenure thus far.
Well, you've done a great job. You've really positioned yourself as a national leader on quite a few topics. We'll talk about a few of those. But you're right, the honeymoon ends quick. The voters, they liked your first 4 years of work, reelected you to another 4 years, so you're in your second term. What's it like leading this kind of crazy party town that everybody knows is New Orleans? And we're going to dig into that because you've got a big special day coming up pretty quick that we all celebrate, but it's kind of your holiday, isn't it, Mardi Gras? First of all, tell us about your city. What's your favorite thing about being mayor of the city of New Orleans?
Well, you know, my favorite thing about being mayor, seriously, is being able to tackle some longstanding issues within the city from decades. So like infrastructure, for example. The city of New Orleans is on the front lines of climate change, and climate has already changed. So for what it means to us is adapting to that change. And so focusing on our infrastructure, you know, we're 20 years next year from Hurricane Katrina. And so wanting to make sure that we deal with our 120-year-old drainage system for our city, and one that really needed some investments, again, decades. So picking up cans has been really the cornerstone of my tenure as mayor, and making sure that we're not only on roads and streets, it's all that drainage. And of course, $14 billion of infrastructure on the levee protection system, risk reduction system. And so much of my time has been focusing on replacing drainage lines that haven't been replaced in over 120 years. So not sexy stuff. You know, it's not something that people get all excited about. It's actually something that they get a little upset about, because you're disrupting, you know, their daily quality of life, but you're making investments that will last a generation.
You know, you said something that it strikes me. It's wild how quickly things pass. But it's been how many years since Katrina? Did you say 20?
Yep. Next year, 2025 will be 20 years.
Yes. Mayor, back when that happened, I was couple mayors previous to you, but the city of Rochester Hills sent we raised money here personally. We sent money down. We sent some of our officers down, some of our firefighters down to support your community. What are some of the lasting impacts? You know, 20 years later, Are there still things you can drive through in your community and say, that's because of Katrina, or that still exists because of the impact of Katrina?
Absolutely. You know, I would say it really goes back to infrastructure and really even green infrastructure. You know, now the city of New Orleans is that global model for adapting, using our green spaces to hold water, freeing the water up from going immediately into our drains. You know, prior to Katrina, even right after, when we wanted to do a bioswale, like in my neighborhood of Broadmoor, I was told, oh no, kids are going to drown, you know, in that bioswale. But now our community really understands, because they can see it working right before their eyes. As the rain comes, and the rain is coming harder, faster, and stronger than we've ever seen. And so we can see how this rain is being captured, and people's lives, you know, are really being impacted, or have been impacted in a positive way. More still to go, but it really helps us demonstrate to people why these investments are so necessary.
You know, Mayor Cantrell, you've been and have a unique perch to sort of see this. We've talked a little bit about climate change, but really the role of mayors in so many matters right now. You've got climate happening, which is sort of this consistent push. You've got the unique challenges of a presidential election in 2024. In many of our states, yours in particular, you're a blue city and a red state. So, you know, I know you've always been working for New Orleans to fight to get the money that it needs to get from the state. Why are mayors so good at and really, you know, hopefully so well positioned to be voices of, you know, sort of consistent leadership in times like this when so much attention is on the far right, far left?
Well, you know, like me, my brother mayor, things happen on the ground, and there's no one closest to the ground to your people than the mayor. We always say, and you know this from your leadership, not only within the U.S. Conference of Mayors, but even of Rochester. Listen, it's not about a Democrat or Republican. We're mayors. We serve everybody. And everybody's voice, it really does matter. And we have to block out the noise and really listen. And we have to act on the ground and being held accountable by the people that we serve.
No, you're exactly right, and our fellow mayors that may watch and certainly know and have seen you know that you are a fierce advocate for your residents and for your city, and one of the most fun people to hang out with, friends. If you ever get a chance, and I don't know how many of you will, but to see Mayor Cantrell when the cameras are off and when she's having fun, she's probably my favorite person in the world of mayordom to hang out with, because you are an absolute blast. I want to ask you, because you have such a fun reputation, such a fun city. Tell us, let the listeners and viewers hear a little bit about your story. You're obviously a mother, you're an activist. How does someone get to be the first female mayor of a city with a 300-year history? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, you know what, Brian? I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I moved to New Orleans at the age of 18. I'm 51 now. I came here for college.
Yeah, you didn't have to say that.
Listen, I'm proud of that. But all my adult life has been here in the city of New Orleans, where I say my soul found its home. But I really got my mark, I would say, after Hurricane Katrina. I led my community through recovery, which led the city in neighborhood recovery. And from there, I just was called upon by the residents that I served as the president of my neighborhood association to run for city council. In which I did and served for 6 years, and they encouraged me to run for mayor, and I did, and against, you know, 18 people, and they elected me. They said their future was going to be female, and I'm hoping, you know, that I still, I always say, listen, I won't be the last. So, you know, as you break that ceiling, you want to always leave a path forward for other women to step into the role, but to lead with integrity.
Sure. And now, when you think about New Orleans, you think about the music scene, you think about the food scene, and I definitely want to get your and I'm sure others want to get your picks for the best places to sneak around your community, because so many people from our area come down and celebrate some part of the year with you. But what are some of the misconceptions people have about New Orleans nationally that you've heard as you've traveled around?
Well, what I will say is, you know, New Orleans is a world-class city. No matter where we show up, you know, the city just gets you in, gets you at the table. But New Orleans culture, you know, it is world-class and it's unmatched. So I would say Mardi Gras. Some just look at it as, okay, yes, it is the biggest free show and free party on earth, but it's not just for those who want to come and drink, you know, a big beer. Or catch beads and show boobs. It really is a family environment. And Mardi Gras, there's literally something for everyone. If you want to bring your young kids, you do that. It is a safe environment. It's very fun and family fun. And that's, I think, is something that I want people to understand about Mardi Gras. And the children just love it.
Now, talk about your role. Do you have any special assignments that you have that you're responsible for? I mean, are you know, a lot of times you give keys to the city, or there's some special role in that.
Yes.
But what are some things you'll be doing during Mardi Gras this year?
So Mardi Gras is about pageantry, you know, and it's a lot of men and women's time to be the king and queen of their crew, if you will. And they take it very seriously. And the crews, are responsible for carnival. And so as these king and queens come before what we call Galliard Hall, which was our first city hall, then I have to toast them, raise a glass to them with champagne, issue a key to the city on behalf of all of their most royal subjects. And I also have to turn the city over to Rex himself, who is the official king of carnival for Fat Tuesday. So those are some of the things that I have to keep the traditions of this city alive. Over 175 years, this pageantry has been going on. And something about being the mayor, Brian, sometimes the easiest part is don't get in the way. Don't mess it up. Don't break the traditions, you know.
I we've gotten ripped off on Mardi Gras, because around here on Fat Tuesday, we just celebrate with, it's called Punchki Day, and we have these like jelly filled donuts or something that, you know, everybody gets, and everybody takes one bite of, and then they're just too, at least for me, they're too sweet, they're too much. We need to get more of the party atmosphere up here that you've created and captured down there. Now, I have been down there for Jazz Fest, and the people of New Orleans are so incredibly hospitable. I mean, it is a welcoming group of people that your community is known for that Southern hospitality. You guys nail that.
Oh no, we do. But listen, our culture, again, listen, culture is our economy as well. So if there's any time that we can have our cultural artists where we can send to Rochester for your event to really showcase the city of New Orleans, and that's something that we can do.
Is there a favorite son or daughter of New Orleans? Or is it just all throughout? You know, there's a food, you know, food, there's music, there's food, there's maybe history. Is there, when you think of New Orleans, is there a person or people or
Oh,
country come to mind?
there's so many. You know, the Radiators. You think about that. Of course, Alan Toussaint. You think about Alan Toussaint. Fats Domino. Really, the list just goes on. The Neville Brothers. Oh my God. You know, who were the Radiators? And it's just it's unmatched talent, unmatched history, and the culture of this city, which just oozes from the streets. You know, from her people.
In terms of the safety and security, the people pretty much well behaved on Mardi Gras. I mean, you said it's a great place for families and so forth.
Yes.
You know, you hear about the downtown area just being so much fun and so much. Is it just one day, or is it over multiple days? I've
So
never been.
Mardi Gras, it is a it's over the course of 2 weeks.
Right, but
You
the.
have yeah, a course of 2 weeks. And so this week, for example, which is in its second week, we'll start parades on Wednesday and they will go through Tuesday. Fat Tuesday. So in terms of safety, you know, we are a unified command during Mardi Gras. We get additional resources from the federal government. We have a SEER 2 rating, which means that added support from FBI, DEA, Homeland Security. We get the National Guard, the Coast Guard, all are here in our city. Of course, the state police, but the New Orleans Police Department, you know, second to none at keeping residents safe. So this is something that is in place throughout the city and, of course, throughout the areas where parades are happening. But it's a safe and enjoyable time.
I totally believe that. I've seen it myself. And certainly New Orleans is no stranger to celebrations. You've hosted Super Bowls and national championships and you know, national conferences. And so certainly you and your team are ready for it. Just such a fun story in our nation, as the eyes of our entire country will turn to New Orleans over the next couple of weeks to watch the celebration in your city. Mayor Cantrell, if you had 48 hours to spend in New Orleans, where are you eating? What are you seeing? What are you doing?
Well, 48 hours in New Orleans, you know, first I'm going to have to go and get me some crawfish. You know, you have to get the crawfish. One of my favorite spots right now, I would say, is the Bayou Beer Garden to get that crawfish. I would have to show up at GW Fans, Chef Mike, to prepare me what was caught that day right off of the Gulf, you know, right here in our city. I would have to go listen to some brass band music and handle that in the city of New Orleans. It's one place that I love to go to, Snug Harbor, to listen to some jazz on Frenchman Street, even a bar room called Bullets, but I would have to go by Bertha's as well. So there's so many places to go and to eat. Dookie Chase, I have to go by the famous Dookie Chase restaurant. By the famous Leah Chase, may she rest in peace. The family has Dookie Chase going mighty strong. And so the Brennan's family, Commander's Palace, have Mr. B's. So there's right. so much good eating going on.
I'm going to need to stay 3 days. I can already tell. I bet. And I'm going to need a key to your place, just so you know, just to make this easy so I don't have to worry about it. And maybe your detail in your vehicle, but we'll handle that afterwards. Mayor Cantrell, you've obviously, as you said earlier, you've smashed some 300-year-old glass ceilings in your city, and I'm sure that in order to do that, you've had mentors, you've had heroes, you've had people that have invested in you. Maybe mention a couple folks that have impacted your life and sent you on this trajectory to do what you've done so far.
Yeah, well, I would have to say, you know, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was civically engaged, and you know, hanging out with her is how I wound up being the secretary of my local chamber of commerce at the age of 14, you know. My grandmother, Elsie Taylor, one of my professors at Xavier, Dr. Silas Lee, who's still a mentor to me right now, who lives in New Orleans. So there are many folks that I look toward, but my family, I would have to say, planted the seed and has just been nurturing it along the way.
It's funny how grandmas play a role. My grandma's still with us, still a resident of my city. And while I'm the mayor of the city, my grandma's the mayor of the family. And when she calls and needs something, it has to get done right away. So yes. Those grandmotherly influences have been certainly big. What is it that you hope in the future when people read a plaque on the wall with your name and your face on it and what you've accomplished? What do you want your legacy to be, your daughter and others to think and know about what you've accomplished?
Well, what I want people to know is that, you know, we would have really built up this city to be sustainable for years to come, for that real resilience of the city to continue to shine through preserving our culture, but absolutely just around the investments around infrastructure. You know, pipes that have been 125 years old, you know, but spending millions of dollars that in our lifetime we won't see again in this city. Moving people off of a landfill that they were living on for 50 years that now have been bought out by government, and a solar farm is being erected on that land that will provide redundancy in renewable energy for this community. You know, the city of New Orleans, approved a millage for early childhood education for 20 years to look back and see, wow, you know, transferable wealth has been able to be built in this community because our young people have access to real quality jobs and professions. You know, that's a big deal. To make sure that Lincoln Beach, that was where Black folks could go 50 years ago, only beach in the city that's been dormant. You know, now that is being revitalized. You know, so 50 years in the making to make that happen. And a real middle class being built in this city. And that's something that I want to be my legacy. So within its children, how it's been a generational economic development of our people in this city to just make sure that New Orleans is another 300 years, you know, sure. In the making. Yeah.
People don't understand oftentimes how, you know, infrastructure is not the sexiest word, but it is a matter of life and death. And your city speaks to that, how important it is both to learn from the past and plan for the future. And that focus on sustainability, I think, is really you and your community have led on that. Places like Miami and Houston, who have unfortunately seen the devastating impacts, even as we are watching, you know, atmospheric strange things happening in California, atmospheric rivers, things I didn't even know were things impacting life for folks every single day. It's folks like you that are on the ground every day thinking about what do we have to do, block and tackle, to make sure we're ready for those things. I certainly understand that and applaud that. You know, the only thing you didn't say that in terms of your legacy is that unofficial sister city relationship between New Orleans and Rochester Hills that you've been such a champion of, which I mean, that thing really has been incredible. Incredible piece of work on your part. I just want beignets. That's right. I just want beignets and jambalaya coming in one direction. And
so we're gonna do that, man. I got some Cafe Du Monde for you.
Listen, I ask the same question at the end of every podcast. I've been doing it for 3 years, and there's no prep for this, so there's no right or wrong answer. But it's a 2-part question.
Okay.
And so you have to answer both parts. First part. If you could have lunch or dinner with any individual, alive or past, who would it be? And as important, where would you take them?
Oh, I would have to say I would love to have lunch or dinner with Oprah Winfrey. And I think we would go to, where would we go? Oh, we would have to go and get my favorite a dish from Mr. B's, you know. And I love their gumbo over there. And we would have to go on over there and just sit down at Mr. B's. And then I'll have maybe Irvin Mayfield come play us a little tune. And I think Oprah Winfrey, that would be it.
And Drew Brees throw you a football and all their other New Orleans fantastics come in and do something. I wish I could say, well, guess what? Surprise, Latoya, we've got Oprah on the line and she's going to join us on the podcast. Unfortunately, we didn't predict that answer, but what a great one. I appreciate you so much. If you get a chance, get to know Mayor Cantrell. She is absolutely leading on some of the toughest issues in the country, and she has the respect of her mayoral peers, for sure, mine as well. And my favorite part is that not only can she work hard, but she's a lot of fun too. We've had a lot of fun representing our communities, and while it's not always easy when you can get with some of your friends and you commiserate about the tough stuff, celebrate the great things. It's nice to have people that are friends that have your back, and I know you've always got mine, and I've always got yours. So, Mayor Kendall, thank you so much for being here. The big news, I think, of this whole podcast was that you said you're 51 because you've always told me you're 31. So this is
really right. No, I'm up. We're not lying about it. I'm proud of every year, and I want 50 more, 51 more.
I hear you. That's why sustainability is your key, right? I like
that. Exactly.
Listen, we're going to watch you and your city celebrate over the next couple of weeks. Have a great time. Grab some beads for us and do it in the way you know you're supposed to do it. Love you, man. Appreciate
you.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast. And for all of our listeners and watchers, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. We will be back with another exciting episode of Right Down the Street real soon. But right now, thanks for watching and God bless.